time to tell the neighbors that Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Yes, and I'm here. It's Wednesday morning, and about 10:15 is the time, and I hope you enjoyed listening to Scott this morning. He had a lot of interesting things going on, especially on food. Oh, yes, that's an interesting topic. There was a restaurant in Marion. This was before it was it became Byrie's, and it was a friend of mine bought it from George Kasotis, and this friend of mine was a super intelligent young man. I mean, he was a brilliant as far as technicality. He was building his own soda fountain to eventually install in his restaurant he just bought. But one of the big things that attracted some attention in his restaurant, and in fact I even brought a visitor to the restaurant, what was his name? He's from Cleveland, the One Tank Gas Trips. Yeah, One Tank Trips. And I brought him there and to eat this special thing. And it was, I think, a peanut butter and sardine sandwich. That's right, peanut butter and sardine sandwich. And it became well known. But I don't know how well it was thought of after someone tried it. Peanut butter and sardines. If you can imagine. But it sure didn't impress the man I had with me for the One Tank Trips. In fact, he's got, I think he wrote his last book. I'm in a couple of his books about strange things and different things around the Marion area. But he was a great guy. He once drove a Nash Metro, well, it wasn't a Metropolitan, was it? Yeah, it might have been. The little car that Nash made, smaller than the one I drive. And he was quite noted for that. In fact, that car is in a museum now. He ended up, though, in a, I think it was a little van type of car. He came to Marion at least twice for various things of interest. Okay, so what else do you have of interest? I saw in the paper where there was a walking tour of haunted things. Well, you know, that's a, if there ever was anything haunted, you know, that is a thing all in itself. What is haunted? Is there anything that's really haunted? I remember when a group came to the cemetery to examine the rotating ball to find out why it rotates. It weighs, a ton, but it does gradually creep. And this people came by and they listened to it. I think maybe they had stethoscopes and all kinds of things to see if there was an inner source of energy. I don't think there was, but anyhow, the paranormal, that's a popular thing among a lot of people. The same people probably that think those jets that go across our skies are leaving chemical trails. They call them chemtrails. And instead of what it really is moisture from the jet engines hitting the cooler air and leaving that that jet stream behind. Not a poisonous chemical that the government's trying to poison all of us. Oh, my land. But that goes over big. Oh, yes, I've heard people say, my, just look at those trails. Well, you generally find those jet trails prominent ahead of a weather front. It could be cold or it could be a warm front. You generally find those trails at that time. Rather interesting. Not chemtrails. But, oh, I tell you, you listen to the overnight shows that deal with the paranormal, and those are chemtrails. The government's trying to poison all of us. Yeah. So, are there, and there's one thing that I'm really puzzled about. Supposedly, down on Salem Road, there was a home that was occupied by midgets or short people. And my wife had been in that home. It was just a normal type of home, but yet there's a book out saying something about these tiny people that lived there. Anybody else know anything about that? I doubt if anyone knows for sure. Any honest-to-goodness paranormal things happening. Now, one time, I knew a paranormal expert, and that was Dave Herring's sister. Dave Herring, a farmer in Wyandotte County, his sister went and taught at OSUM here in Marion. And at one time, she was editor of, Playgirl magazine. But she got out of that because she said the mob wanted so much payback. In fact, you wouldn't realize this, would you? But the magazines you see in a magazine store are there because somebody paid to have the privilege of having those magazines for sale. And this is what bugged her, the fact that she had to have this Playgirl magazine distributed widely. You had to pay the underworld. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a lot of things that go on. I'm just all of a sudden all this come to my mind. The other thing that used to be, it was a for sure, but it wasn't paranormal. It was the numbers racket. And that was popular up until through the 50s and maybe even the 60s, the numbers racket. And there were dealers all around the Marion area selling numbers. And they had people who sold them for them. In other words, they subletted their number selling to other people. And I was told this, and you know, I can't say I saw it in writing, but one man that sold a winning number kept the money that the person paid to play that number. And well, maybe he kept even the winnings instead of giving them up. And he was approached when they found out he had the winning number, maybe the winning money. It was very interesting. Well, anyhow, do you have any things like that? The numbers racket. That always intrigued me because I grew up playing the numbers. I remember boxing the number. You know, that way you played it in different ways. Hopefully you would win. I never won a penny playing the numbers. But there was a man in Bucyrus that I suppose was the super salesperson for the numbers racket. He would come and hitchhike to Marion and back. And I don't know if he was a distributor of the numbers racket here. I really don't know. He's long dead, of course. His name was Bluegrass, his nickname. So anybody else have any information about the old numbers racket that existed? I don't think it exists now in Marion, but that was a big thing all across the country. How you could box a number, play it four ways. Yeah. Anybody familiar with that? Of course, anymore, you see, I'm 85, and a lot of this stuff occurred when I was younger, and so in no way would I expect you to know anything at all about it. But I grew up with a family in Bucyrus that had a booze well, not really a booze joint. It was a bar and a restaurant combined. And I spent my youth growing up with that family. And on Sundays, we would come from Mass and come over to the bar and play shuffleboard with the old-timers that were there. I can still remember putting the wax, sprinkling the wax on the wooden shuffleboard table to make those little chrome pucks, if you could call it that, slide. And boy, when you put new wax down, you had to calculate how heavy to push that, because with new wax, they really sailed. But that was a long time ago, too. And sadly, there was a, it was after World War II, not long after. There was a man who had been in World War II. His name was Abe Eggleston. Abe was shell-shocked in the war, and it affected him badly. And it was awful how people, when he was sitting at the bar, would come up, tap him on his back, and that sent him into convulsions practically. He was so sensitive after having been through that PTSD in the war. That's just part of my growing up, things that I observed. But then the other thing, and Scott was talking about food, occasionally people would bring in, and you couldn't do it now, would bring in raccoons that they shot, and they would be prepared in the kitchen there at Worm's Restaurant. And also other animals, rabbits, squirrels, you name it. And the animals were butchered, of course. Well, they were already dead. But but they were cooked and kept in those crock containers in hot water to keep them warm. And some days you'd look up on the menu board and you could see raccoon today, $2 a plate or $1 a plate, whatever. Those were the days. And never again. In the kitchen of Worm's Restaurant, I never forget, used to come in the back way and went right through the kitchen. And the kitchen floorboards were so old and more or less rotten that when you walked in the back end in the kitchen, you went downhill and then uphill. It was just some of my old memories. I guess we've all had memories. How about you? Did any of you ever have any memories like, maybe you can't have memories like that anymore. It's a different world. Memories of the numbers racket and eating wild game for sale in a restaurant. You can't do that now. Oh my goodness. Can you imagine you wouldn't be in business more than an hour if you advertised raccoon today or groundhog. Yes, they did sell groundhog meat too. I know what groundhog tastes like because I've had some. So, 7403839944, and I've got things to give away today. I've got passes to give away to, let me see. It says hauntedmountain.org. You want to look that up on the internet? Hauntedmountain.org. The Sleepy Hollow Experience at Haunted Mountain. October 4th through the 31st. So it's going right now. It's on Major Andre's Trail. Remember Major Andre? No, you don't, because that was back in the early 1800s. And Woman in White Escape Room. Oh, sounds creepy. Oh, okay, I've got these to give away. Now, I want to confirm. I think this is the same place where Tecumseh was held. I think so. And now it says, don't lose your lanyard. I will, if you want, I will give you a lanyard and you can put around your neck. And it's your pass to gain access to the haunt. Your pass also includes one escape room experience and one trip through Major Andre's Haunted Trail. This pass is non-transferable, non-refundable, and non-edible. The pass is invalid without a date. All right. So, that's the story. And whoever wins these, I have to put a date on there. Okay. What else do I have to give away today? Oh, I've got an oil change from Bill Huntsman. And I also have zoo tickets, of course. We always have zoo tickets. And tickets to the reclaimed land in eastern Ohio managed by the head guy down at the zoo in Columbus. And so it goes. All I have to do is ask you a question and see if you want any of these prizes. And let me see. What could I ask you? Now, Michigan, they had a really great slogan last year.
Scott, did you know that Martha Dowse and George Casillas were taught to dance by Marion, Native and Miss America, Marilyn Meskey?
I had heard that.
What you didn't know was that after Marilyn taught them how to dance, that George gave her a gift.
Oh, really? What was that?
Two jugs of olive oil and a box of lemons.
George's calling card, WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Three, two, one. Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ad Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Okay, we're back once again. And you can look up this thing I've got to give away, the Sleepy Hollow Experience. Yeah, and you can... find it on the internet. Let's see, hauntedmountain.org. Hauntedmountain.org. And I got a whole bunch of passes for that. Whoa. And they all have these lanyards. It really makes you look like an official person when you show up. Okay. Question. Let me see. What, and I've asked this before, what city in Ohio refers to a vegetable? I know there are several, like up at Celeryville. But I'm not talking about Celeryville. There's another city in Ohio, a large city, with the name of a vegetable. Now, what city would that be? 7403-39944 is our number to call. And, or if you know of any paranormal things around the Marion area. And I guess it's in a book about these little people that supposedly occupied a home on Salem Road. I never understood. Well, I tell you, there was also rumors that the house there at the corner of Greenwood and Mount Vernon was haunted because people would move in, and a little while later they would move out. And I can remember one time our whole staff, or some of us at WDIF, the original WDIF, wanted to spend a night there to see if we could see anything out of the normal. Paranormal, you know. Well, the owners wouldn't let us do that. I can understand why. They didn't want it known that they were trying to sell a haunted house. But actually, the people moved in and out because of the cost of heating it. It was out of this world. People couldn't afford it. Once they rented the house, they could not afford it, so they'd move out. And then a lot of people thought, they got scared from the ghosts and goblins in there, and so they moved away. Anybody want to emphasize or talk more about that? Or can you tell me what city in Ohio, I could give you the directions, but it's named for a very prominent vegetable. And one time, when I was promoting Marion, I had a booth at the convention center in Columbus. And next to my booth was this group from the city named for a vegetable. What city is that? And I never forget, some people came along and they had seeds of this vegetable on display, and somebody came along and took them all. Now, that happens. That happened to me once. I was demonstrating, Marion. I was at a trade show emphasizing Marion, and we were down, I think it was down near where? Cincinnati. And the people exhibiting next to me was the people that owned that that crazy grocery store. They've got two locations now. It's different than any other store you've ever been in. Anyhow, the owner was next to me and was showing, different vegetables, odd vegetables, not the ones we know. And he told me, he said, well, when we're all done today, you can take these home if you want. I said, yeah. And the day was over. And so he put them down underneath the table for me to pick up and then take home. But when I went to pick them up, they were gone. And two ladies were going out the front door carrying my box of different fruit. It was just like the people came up and took all the seeds of this vegetable I've been talking about. That happens at trade shows. People love to just swoop in and take what they want. And whether they want to patronize whatever we were advertising or not, you know. Okay, but in Michigan, I think it was last year, they had a slogan for the state of Michigan. Can you tell me what it was? A slogan, you know, like Ohio's had the heart of it all, things like that. Michigan had a short statement to the fact. What was it? It was a year ago. I think it even had some road signs with that slogan on it. What was it? 7403839944. I'd like to hear from you today. And what's going on? Let's see, outside it's a little cooler. We've had a cold front roll through, which ended the rain, incidentally. But now we're heading in toward more toward winter. And, of course, the Circleville Pumpkin Show is going on. Let's see, when does it start? Tomorrow? And the weather's supposed to be great on Saturday. My granddaughter, Scarlett Roston, is Teeny Pop, Miss Teeny Pop, 2019. So she will be there. I don't know if they have a parade they're in or if they just show up and march around, but she and some of the other people from the Popcorn Show, Popcorn Festival, should be there. I just wish that, like in the Bratwurst Festival, our queens there were pulled in a wagon with not much information on it. You had to look closely at their banners they had on to see what festival they were representing. Now, when the Bratwurst Festival goes different places, they have a big float they take. It's really pretty. And they probably cover it up while they're transporting. But, they make a big deal out of it. Of course, they've been in business now since 1969, I think. All right. And if, incidentally, it was in the popcorn parade, the hose wagon that I kind of grew up with in the Bucyrus Fire Department. When I was a Minuteman, and before that, when I was their mascot, I used to load hose in that wagon. In later years, it was sold to Louis Wickersham, and then I think Louis sold it to somebody, and it finally was acquired by the Little Wiz Fire Museum in that town up north. spoke too soon. In Medina, that's it, Medina. And so you can see that wagon that was in the popcorn parade and also the Bratwurst parade that once belonged to Bucyrus Fire Department. You can see it in that museum. Now on Facebook, you can also bring it up because I had my daughter put a picture of that wagon, the hose wagon, and the ladder truck from just after the turn of the century. And in that picture, the fourth person from the left is Chief Mater. Now, Chief Mater was a a fire chief when I was with the fire department, and Chief Mader paid all of us Minutemen in silver coins, silver dollars to be specific. I wish I'd have saved a couple of those because they're all from the 1800s, seemed like. And, oh, yes, I can remember once a month, we would, at least once a month, we would, after a fire, we'd all gather in the fire department to clean everything up, and we would hear clink, clink, clink. And that meant that Chief Mader was sorting out his silver dollars to pay us. Oh, that was something. Yeah, that's all past, you know. Another thing that's past, in Bucyrus, I don't know if we had them in Marion or not, wooden water mains made out of cypress wood. Bucyrus was full of them. And they eventually replaced them with cast iron piping. But before they did that, if there was a fire of, you know, large proportions, Chief Mader would stand right by the pressure gauge and be in touch with the water department. And he would say, can you boost that pressure up a pound or two? We need that pressure on this particular fire. And so he would do it very cautiously, because if you put too much pressure in a wooden water main, it would blow up. You'd have one big leaking water main. And that's another part of the past. Another, and I don't know if they still have any superstitions regarding the poles that you slide down from the second floor. That was always the fastest way of getting down to the ground floor to get on a fire truck, was to put one arm around that brass pole, and down it came with your boots on and everything. Yeah, that was another era. There was also a superstition about that whenever we polished, we had to keep the pole polished, of course, so we could slide easily. And the thing was, if we polished it on a Saturday, there was sure to be a fire alarm. Oh, boy. Yeah, how many memories do you have of things of the past? I wouldn't think I'm the only one that can remember. And I can remember a lot from a long time ago, more than I can remember what happened yesterday. Wow. I can remember in Bucyrus, it's long gone, a place called Ziegler Mill. Now, there used to be a Ziegler home across Sandusky Avenue from the Ziegler Mill. Ziegler Mill was an old mill where farmers brought in their corn and soybeans. And soybeans were one of the newer products at that time, back in the 40s. And I used to buy a bag of soybeans to use in my pea shooter. But then eventually the building was torn down, and the medicine chest is in its place now, a prescription drug store. And across the street, there's a service station where the Ziegler home used to be. Okay, how many of you can tell me some things about Marion? You know, I came here in 52, so everything I know about Marion happened after 1952. All right, so what city in Ohio was named after a vegetable? I mean, you know, a fairly large city. I think it's not Celeryville, which is a very small town. However, Celeryville is a place where they grow tons and tons of vegetables that are shipped all over the country. In New York, for instance, Dutch-made trucks run to New York all the time, taking fresh vegetables. Oh, boy. That's something. And I love to go up there and watch the workers in the fields. Now, these are all workers from Mexico, and they work hard. They're provided a place to live, too, while they're there. Various produce companies built homes, you know, cement block buildings for the migrant workers. And you can see their wash hanging on the lines most any day. But their days are probably numbered now, because harvest will soon be over. And then they move on to probably Florida and elsewhere. Have you ever been up there? It's really interesting. I used to ride my bicycle up there every month at least because I enjoyed it. And I could stop along the road with my bicycle and watch the workers. And one place, or one time, that really impressed me was watching the workers cutting parsley in bunches. You know, they would use a knife and cut it and make a little bunch, put a rubber band around it, and then it would be picked up, and that was a parsley harvest. I don't know if they also had cilantro or not, but they had acres and acres of onions. And
hey, Ted, what's the best part about being so well-known?
Well, meeting all kinds of new people, you know, taking pictures and signing autographs.
That's great. What's the worst part?
That after signing a 500,000 autographs, I've got the worst case of carpal tunnel syndrome since John Hancock.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth. Spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Okay, we're back once again, and the city in Ohio that's named after a vegetable. What is it? A pretty good-sized city. And it happens to be on a well-known highway. Now, what city is that? Here's another question. I've asked this before and always managed to get an answer. There is a knife on the market, a very good knife. I used to sell them at one time. And I want to know, well, I can tell you, it was a buck knife. And how did each individual knife indicate its strength? Buck knife. Maybe you got one in your pocket. Take a look at it. And what I'm talking about is quite visible. A demonstration of how tough they are. The buck knife. I remember I bought a buck knife at Depot Sales. Oh, it must have been 40 years ago or more. And now it's doubled and tripled in price. Oh, my goodness. And I've never actually used mine for any purpose, just to look at. I've taken it with me, though, on some adventures, but never had to use it. Okay, and then what else can I... I'm trying to think here. Something I asked you before. Okay, you go into a seafood restaurant, and you tell them, I'll have a serving of calamari. What is calamari? Yeah. The last big bowl of calamari I had was in Portland, Oregon. I was doing a trade show there. I was telling how great Marion was clear out in Portland, Oregon. I also did the same in Baltimore, Maryland. But, yeah, in Portland, Oregon, it was interesting, but that's where I had my last big bowl of calamari. What is calamari? 740. Are our phone lines working? 7403-39944. Yeah, let me see here. Yep, it is working. Okay. All right, and what's the name of the festival that took place in Les Rue for years? It was organized and chairmaned by a man who worked at Depot Sales. Now, if you can tell me either the name of the festival or the man's name, you'll be a winner today. I've got these haunted passes to give away from the Sleepy Hollow Experience. Okay, October runs up to October 31st. Major Andre's Trail. Okay. Oh, here's a caller. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Yes, sir, Charlie. Is the calamari, in fact, squid?
Yes, it's squid. Yeah.
Very good, very good.
Yeah, and
I can't believe you ate it, but...
Yeah, it's popular in a lot of seafood. But the thing is, it's tough. I've never found a tender bowl of squid.
You got to be tough to eat it, that's for sure.
That's right, yeah. And I ordered this big bowl, my... Well, hey, would you like a prize today?
I sure would. I'm not sure what you have, so you may have to list them for me.
Okay, well, Sleepy Hollow is a haunted, I think it's in the same place as Tecumseh was. And,
Short Coffee.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that comes with a cord, you hang around your neck and all that. Yeah.
Okay, I'll take it.
All right, now let me see. Well, I get my pen here, write down your name. I don't know what I did with my pen. Maybe I ate it. Well, that's funny. Okay, now, what is your name?
My name's Tom. First name, last name, Fout. F-O-U-T.
Oh, Tom Fout. Okay. All right, Tom. We're open
yes, sir.
10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Yeah, I don't know where you're located. A new spot. Used to be underneath the Belltown building.
Yeah,
now we're on.
Now we're just the opposite. We're on the second floor of the medical building, which used to be a bank. It's now Ohio Health Building. And we're on the second floor, so you pull in and come up on the elevator. Woo!
Okay, is that on the corner of Prospect Street
and
Center?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. No, right where it's at then, Charlie.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right.
And let me tell you, I really enjoy listening. And to be honest, Jeff Luce left WMRN, I don't even turn them on.
Well, that's the same with me.
And so I listen to you now.
Well, good.
And I appreciate you.
Okay, Tom, I'm sure glad to hear that.
Thanks a bunch.
Okay, thank you. All right, Tom Falstuck. Yeah. Oh, I got a pen right in front of me here. Let me write this down here. Tom Falstuck. Today is the 14th? No, it's the 16th already. Wow. My goodness. Where did time go? Tom. Okay. And he gets haunted. Yeah. Okay. How about that? Okay. All right. Now, how many of you know the city named after a vegetable? It's pretty common. There might be. I mentioned Celeryville. That's not this city is not too far from Marion. Named after a vegetable, what would it be? Now it has if you were in the army, this particular town has a different pronunciation than if you were a gardener. Scratch your head on that one, huh? Okay. Now let me see. Yeah, squid. I haven't had squid in quite a while. I stopped eating it because it was so tough. And the same way, I used to buy, whenever I could afford it, a lobster. But I never got one tender. Like they do in the bigger restaurants, you know. I was in Bridgeport, Massachusetts once. I did a tour. Oh, here we go. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Is it lima?
Yes, it is lima beans.
Okay.
Yeah. Would you like a prize?
No, this is Nancy.
Oh, Nancy, okay.
Thank you, bye.
Okay, bye. Yeah. The Army calls it lima. Lima Company. But we call it lima. Yeah. Lima is, it's interesting, too. I wouldn't want them to hear me mention it. But lima was the kind of a gathering place for a certain element a long time ago. Yeah, speaking of numbers rackets and things like that, lima was kind of headquarters. I don't know if it is today. Lima's very, they've got a football stadium in Lima. Oh, my goodness. I'm trying to remember how they financed it. But it's so beautiful and big. Wow. Okay, now here's a question that goes way back. I don't expect any of you to know this. what was the dairy that used to be in where Vernon Heights is? And it was also the home is still there, I think, above, just to the south of the prep school there on, what's the name of that street? my mother-in-law used to live on that street. But it starts with the letter Z, if that helps. Oh, here we go. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Is it Zachman?
Yeah, Zachman Dairy, yeah. Okay. Hey, would you
like... I'm not eligible, Charlie, I just wanted to play along.
Okay, good. Good enough.
Toodaloo.
Okay. All right, yeah. Zachman Dairy. Now, if you ever find a Zachman Dairy bottle, there's a fellow I know that would love to be able to get a hold of some. Warren Zachman, a good friend of mine. Warren and I go back years and years. Oh, my goodness. You know, do people have fun like we used to have years ago? Warren Zachman, when we moved to Caledonia, made his presence well known. I did not know Warren before then. But what he did, I found out later, he bought a whole group of, about 50 chickens from a lady who sold eggs. These chickens he bought were at the end of their trail as far as producing eggs. Well, he brought those chickens to my outhouse there in Clarendon and put them in there and built shelves for them. And, oh my goodness. And a boy that lived next door came over to me and said, "Mr. Evers, I would like a chicken. Would you give me a chicken?" I said, "Well, sure, if I had one to give you." Well, he said, "You've got a whole building full of them." And I said, "Where?" He said, "Well, that lot like outhouse over there." Sure enough. And it took me months and months to find out who did that. And it turned out to be Warren Zachman. And it got so that those chickens got to be quite famous. And people would come out when I wasn't there, my wife either, and put plastic eggs in the cage. Because every day I looked, I thought, I'm getting no eggs from these chickens. Well, I didn't know they were spent hens. And, people would put plastic eggs in there just to keep me going. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I've got so many memories. It would take forever to write down everything that happened to us after we moved to Clarendon, believe me. And one thing, too, and I hope she's listening, my daughter Kathy was around, how old was she, 13 or 14 years old, when I put the statue up in the courthouse. And, yeah, she must have been 14 or more, because she wrote a story in the Harding Herald in 1980, a story about her adventure with me and Lady Justice. And I'd forgot that she was with me. I knew she was there all day long, but I didn't know she was up in the courthouse on the level where the clock is. Not up on the tip-top, but where the clock is. And she wrote a story for the Harding Herald newspaper about her experiences in the courthouse, about how there had been a lot of birds there. And how she handled ropes and different things that we needed, and fire extinguishers and the like. Oh, my. I didn't know. I had forgotten that she wrote that story. But my wife saves everything, and that was one of the things she saved. Thank goodness. I've got more things. I need an archivist and a computer that could put a lot of my... I've got a lot of letters written by listeners with stories in them. In fact, I've got... In conjunction with, it's 10:58 and a half already. I've got a story written by a handwritten letter from Charlton Myers, who was the founder of the Marion County Historical Society. And he wrote me a 2-page letter concerning Lady Justice. And so I've got that, and I've got other things that ought to be archived in the past history records, you might say. Okay, it's 10:59 Eastern Time, and when I come back, let's see, we found out Zachman Dairy, and I could ask something you probably wouldn't answer or wouldn't know. There was a man that Beast Avenue was named after, and also a building downtown. But that came after he had been in the Civil War, and this Mr. Feast was on the Sultana when it was when it blew up. And he actually survived and came to Marion and set up business and became very successful. And that was a long time ago. The Sultana sank and burned, and hundreds were died.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. For legendary comedian Dick Gregory.
I just said my prayer to the real God. I said, hey, man, they are some Negroes at the